clarification before I discuss the Apostles' Creed. Last week we had Brother Chan talk about the importance of God in our salvation. Basically, if you understand, through the centuries, we're going to a lot of church history today. What had happened was, after the apostles died, 200 years after, 200 AD and after, one becomes a Christian, not that easy. They have to go through 3 years of probation, and they go through being observed whether this person is truly born again or not. And on Easter day, they should memorize the Apostles' Creed. They should present this, because did you ever buy a new computer and they send you a manual? Have you read the manual? Okay, what do you usually open up? Quick reference, the whole sheet. Okay, the one sheet instruction on how to set up for your new computer. The Apostles' Creed is the quick setup of the Bible. It tells us what is the summary of the whole Bible. And this is the background of this. Today, I'm going to discuss only the first part, the first sentence. And this is for us to know. And what had happened was, as people become Christians, and through the years, then there is a division of, I'll just quickly go over church history so you'll know what's going on, what Brother Rod shared last week, is that the Roman church became very powerful and became the Roman Catholic Church. And the Roman Empire, as you know, has divided into two, the Eastern and the Western Roman Empire. The Western Empire fell to the Visigoths in 400 plus AD, and that continues at the Roman Church. And the Eastern part of the European Empire was in Constantinople, which is the Byzantine Empire, and this is the Eastern Orthodox Church. In the 13th century, the two broke off. There was the Great Schism. And what had happened? People become Christian by joining church, but they don't understand the importance of salvation by faith. Salvation by faith is that when you believe in Jesus Christ, you are saved or born again. What had happened was people were trying very hard to become Christians, and by observing everything what the church teaches. But then Martin Luther understand the principle of salvation by faith, is that once you believe in Jesus Christ, and you will be born again. But what had happened was this. Nowadays, in the 19th and 20th century, people become Christian so easily. Is that I raise my hand, I become Christian. So the pendulum has swung to the extreme side also. The truth is in between. That one cannot become a Christian unless through the work of the Holy Spirit. And it is God who gives the Holy Spirit to each one of us. Calvinism is saying that you cannot become a Christian unless God has chosen you. God has called you. Arminianism is you can become a Christian if you try with your own efforts through believing in God. The truth is in between. What we are standing here right now, if you come to church and believe in Jesus Christ and get baptized, you are a Christian. Is it a product of our own effort? No. It is through the work of the Holy Spirit. Are you chosen by God? Yes, we're chosen by God. But we have to what? Respond also. But rest assured that we have Christ in our lives, that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Thus, once we have Christ in our life, we are assured of His salvation. But if we just come here, we just come here because our parents just come here and we join the church just to be a member, to have fun, then there will be some problem with the faith that we have. That's why if we have true faith, God promised us never to leave us nor forsake us, and that we have eternal life. So this is important. But do not take lightly that since I'm a member of Tri-City Chinese Alliance Church, that automatically make me a Christian. No. A Christian is one who really study God's Word and is truly obedient to the Lord, in the sense that we are trying. A Christian will fall into sin but will not habitually commit sin. What is between habitually committing sin and fall into sin? So if you're walking through a path, you fall into sin. If you slip and fall, that is falling into a sin. It's like your purpose is to walk straight, not to walk and fall down. But if you know that there is a path there that leads to sin and purposely walk on it, then that's habitual sin. A person who habitually commits sin may not be a Christian at all. So that's why it's a chicken and egg phenomenon. Like, if you know it's wrong and purposely do it, there is something wrong with your heart. But there comes a point that what is being enslaved to a bad habit is that one get addicted to a form of sin, then you have to really renounce and seek help for that. So that's a weakness. So this is important for us to make it clear, because someone asking me last week, does it make me a Christian now that God has not called me? Well, God calls everyone. There is a universal calling for repentance. So if one repents and believe on Him, He will never leave you nor forsake you. But if we do this not seriously, do not deceive oneself that you are a Christian because you just come to church and happen to be here. So that's the clarification last week. Okay? Any question on this? Cleared? Or it's more blurry now? Okay, what we are discussing is the Apostles' Creed. Apostles' Creed has been, as we read it again, it tells us the importance of the summary that we believe in God, the Father Almighty, that we believe that He created the heaven and the earth. And we believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit through the Mary, that's a virgin, and He suffered under Pontius Pilate and was crucified. He descended into hell. In 3 days He rose again. He ascended to heaven and seated at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again to judge all of us. But we have Christ, that's why we have the eternal salvation. And we believe in the Holy Spirit. There is three persons in one God. Okay? It's not three gods. We have three persons in one God. And the Holy Catholic Church means the universal church. There are many denominations, and yet there is only one universal body of Christ, and the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. When we die, we will resurrect with a new body. And it's not that during that time people believed that the Gnostics believed that there's two creation, two gods. One God created a group, like all our physical self is bad, and all the spirit is good. Eventually, when you die, you're free from the body, then you have a new spirit. That is not true. When we resurrect, we will have, like Jesus, when He resurrected, He was able to eat fish with the apostles. So at the same time, when we die, when we resurrect, we will have a glorious body. Okay? So this is an attempt to discredit the Gnostics during that time. So let's go to the... Where did the Apostles' Creed come from? There are traditions saying that this was dictated by Peter, finished by James and John, that each one say a summary. But it actually is... This is all tradition, but it has been used by what? Roman Catholic, Lutheran, and Anglican Communion. Western Orthodoxy is a Western church. And also Presbyterian, Methodist, Congregationalist, and Baptist. The story of a Christian church is this. So after the Eastern and Western divide, so the Roman Empire, the Eastern became the Eastern Orthodox. If you meet a lot of Russians, a lot of these people coming from Ethiopia or Middle East, they belong to the Eastern Orthodox Church. Then you have the Coptic Church and others. Western, you have the Roman Catholic Church. Then Church of England is called the Anglican Church or the Episcopal Church here in America, which I'm also a member. The other thing is the what had happened during the Reformation. The German churches, they become under Luther. There's called the Lutheran Church. Okay? Then what happened during the 16th century, one of the Anglican clergy or Episcopal clergy by the name of John Wesley and his during the 17th century, they worked very hard and tried to reform the Anglican Church. Then their members became what we call the Methodists. Now you have the Methodist Church. And during that time, some of the Anglican members, they want to have simplify, have to be baptized only by immersion. Then you have the Baptist Church. Then you have the Presbyterian, which is what had happened because the Church of England was ruled by the bishops. But during the 16th, 17th century, Scotland, they don't believe in the episcopal bishops. They want to be ruled by elders, so by presbyters. So you have the Scottish Presbyterian Church. So you have the Presbyterian Church also. And also Methodist, then there's a Congregationalist also who wants to just function as congregation. So you see, there's a lot of denomination. And all of this espouse to the Apostles' Creed, because this, before one becomes a Christian, you should know this by heart. For 3 years, you are kept under probation, and you get baptized during Easter Day. Why is it Easter Day? What do you think? What? You die with Christ, and you resurrect. That's the meaning of baptism. And what are the head knowledge that you have to know? That's why we're going to discuss today, because it's important for us Christians. Not when you go to university, when you go to big colleges, people don't believe in this anymore. So, or CBC, okay. So this creed was in during the 2nd century, about 140 AD, was existed in the old Roman form. Later on, in the 5th century, so what we are dealing here, this contents has been there for 1,500 years. So our Christianity is connected to 2,000 years ago. All of these things are not hearsay, but these are actual facts here. So, first thing we are talking about, I believe in God. So do you believe in God? When you go to society, there are people who don't believe in God, especially people who come from China. Because the teaching was, there is no God. So, when we believe in something, it doesn't mean that you say. Do you drive a car? Just think of it. When you ride in a car, we were discussing this. Do you believe in that car? Yes. Why? Because you put your life in the car. Think of it. When you put on that brake, do you believe that car will brake when you step on the brake? Huh? That is the importance of the creed. When you say believe, it is not like in the mind also, but you put your life there. This is the meaning when I say I believe in God. Belief is not say, okay, I agree. Agree and belief are two different things. When you believe, I believe in the car. So when you drive it, in the interstate, when it's going at 75 miles an hour, you know when you step on the brake, it will work. Because if not, what will happen? So if you think of it, the moment you're driving a car, that's the same way we believe in Christ. You put your life into it, you know when you press on the brake, it will work. You know when you're turning the car, it will turn. Because if not, if there's a car coming and it will not turn, what will happen? You're going to die. Yesterday when I was driving out to work, my neighbor was coming in and she was watching on the side. He was driving like that. I said, wow. My car was going up and he said, oh, I better turn to the right. So that's why you should believe in Christ like we're driving a car. Or you believe that you get married. Do you say that when you get married, do you agree only to get married? So you have to be married, then you believe that you get married. I think for husbands or wives, when you first get married, the first few weeks is kind of adjustment in your head. Yeah. When you get married, that you have to think, before I have to think, I have to go out, oh, I have to tell my wife, oh, I forgot. Yeah, because when you get first get married, you used to go, like when you're a bachelor, you go out late at night. You come home 12, 11 o'clock. But when you're married, what's the difference now? You have to tell your wife, man, because she or get worried. They get worried. Where did Jimmy go? Maybe got lost or something. So the important thing now is, when you become a Christian, you are married to Christ. You are married. That's why you believe in this, and you are married to this. And if somebody say bad things about your wife, would you feel good? Or you just get even? Oh, he sees bad to me. It's good that somebody say bad things about her. No, you feel hurt also. That's why if somebody is mocking Christ and you feel good, I think this person may not be a Christian. So it's the thing. When we believe in the Apostles' Creed, it is not that I agree, but I believe. That's why belief is not only a trust, it is an emotional thing. It is something that you believe in a contract. Like, have you signed a contract before? Huh? Especially physicians, we have to have the contract checked even by lawyer. Or Julian, he signs contract with, he sells real estate. Okay, they have to check every clause. So when you believe in this, you sign into this contract, you believe you're going to get the house. Because why? Because you're like Julian, he sells house. He said, okay, this is my client. I'm going to sign this so and so. Then after that person paid $200,000, $300,000, it's only a sheet of paper. Then he just ran away with the money. Then, oh, what? Yeah, they lose earnest money. That's why when you believe, you sign a contract. That is the contract of baptism. So you understand. Your earnest money is what? You appear in public, telling the public, I have signed this contract. I have become a Christian. And what you believe, this is what we're talking about. When you sign this contract, that I believe in this. And the belief is not only head knowledge, it is like being married, it is like driving a car. When I drive this car, when it's going to bump, when it's going to crash, this is going to help me through the way. So, you see, what we're talking about is so important. First, on God. What do I believe? We believe in a God. Do you believe in God? Or no? Do you believe God exists? But people ask you, why? What is the reason? I will discuss a number of reasons. Today our discussion will be a lot more cerebral. Cerebral meaning say it's more of the head, not the heart. So the first cause argument is one of the things. So how did the chicken came out or the egg, which came first? We don't know. But the main thing is, there is the first cause thing here, that the existence of the universe, it has a beginning. So the first cause is God creating, and there should be something first. If you imagine the whole universe, we're only a small dot. Eventually, all of us is going to be gone. There was no Tri-City here. This place didn't exist 100 years ago. There's nothing here. There is no nothing. But somebody built it. Somebody built this place. Somebody built the whole universe. And this is God, the first cause. The second argument is that argument for design. You see, our nose, our eyes, our ears, all our thinking, there is a pattern. There is a design. What we study in science and what we study in engineering and chemistry, somebody already intelligently made a design for it. We didn't invent physics. Physics and engineering, like Wing, your chemical engineer, isn't it? Or yeah, he didn't invent the chemical reaction. It's there already. You have to use. We're just discovering the natural law, and somebody already created the design. It's there. Like our mind, our arts, our human body, our two eyes, our nose, our mouth. This intelligent design and how the cycle, all of this. The moral argument, okay. Why is it that primitive man or anyone, there is conscience and all these things, okay? What difference between an animal and a human being? Conscience, okay? So animals, they don't have any conscience. That's why they eat human beings, okay? Human beings do eat human beings also, but usually that's cannibalism. But normally they don't sacrifice, or because there is moral law between right and wrong. Animals don't have courts. They don't have judges who decide which animal is sinful and which animal go on punishment. But they have leaders. There is a pack leader. But you see, there is morality. Okay? So first is, there is a first cause. Where did all this come from? Second, there is the design. Intelligent design. Nowadays, you could see that the people are trying to put this back to the textbook. Intelligent design. And there's a big fight. There's a movie also. Did you watch it, David? There was a movie, a professor got kicked out because he was expelled. Yeah, but we'll try to get that about. In this world, there's intelligent design. Because when you go to the colleges and to universities, they say there's no such thing as God, and there's no, everything comes out of evolution or what. And the ontological argument is that the mere fact you think about God, that this is common sense. This is hard to defend. But all of these arguments are not substantial, because for an argument, there's a counter-argument against no God. The other argument is Jesus Christ. Is Christ crazy or a liar or true? And the thing that proves it is the resurrection. Jesus Christ resurrected. There's more than 500 people who saw Christ. And the presence of the church nowadays. Why would the apostles, who were so scared of Christ, dare die for Him? Nobody who knows the truth would give their life. Second thing is the persistence of the church. Through the existence nowadays, we have the church. And through you and me, did you experience a living God in your life? Yes or no? Or not sure? I mean, let's be honest. I have seen through my life, you have seen through your life, how God has saved me or saved your life through the miracles He have done. So I have shared my miracles with you guys, how we have three children now, and how God has, through the environment, has saved us through a lot of troubles. For people, they call it coincidence. But for us, you call it God's hand. But there are many things in life you could see that God uses and to tell you that He's around. So the first argument is about God. The second thing is, what are the name of God? You know that in the Old Testament, I'm reviewing all the different names of God in the sense, what is God called? Because first, we have to be sure that God exists. Second, what does God the Father or God do? First is that Most High God is El Elyon, and the generic term for God, and Elohim, the plural name of the Israelites' God. So in Genesis, God said, let us make man in our image. Let us. Why is there plural? One is the indirect inference that this is a Trinity. Why? Because before creation, Jesus existed, Holy Spirit existed, and God the Father existed. Okay? So if people tell you like this, the Unitarian believes that God the Father became Jesus when He's on earth, became the Holy Spirit when Jesus left. This is Unitarian. Trinitarian is Jesus, God the Father, and Holy Spirit all exist simultaneously. Okay? Is it clear? Like, I am my mother's son. I'm the father of Isaac, and I'm the husband of Marlene. Okay? That's one of illustration. Okay? Okay. Isaac and Jeline. Okay, and Justin. Okay. So, or you can say that these are imperfect illustration. Or ice, water, and vapor. Okay? Or the in human form, we can... God create also what? Body, soul, and spirit. So these are argument that how God is, He creates also beings that looks like Him, three persons in one. Like we have the body, soul, and spirit. They're all one, and that they are one. Okay? So, the plural name used for Israel, and God of might also. So we have a mighty God. Just remember, during that time the Israelites make war. Like when you come to America, like your parents come to America, or during the your parents' days or your grandparents' day, during my father's day, when they come to the Philippines, when they go to the Philippines, what happens? They're all scared. Are you scared when you go to college? Yeah, they're like Daniel went to college and yesterday, and he called and said he's doing well. Everybody gets jitters or what? When you go to a new place or you go to war, that's how God is. He's mighty. Have you had a fight with anyone when you're small? I'll call my older brother, I'll call my mommy, or call my daddy. That's how you feel. Initially, when you are going to war, you want somebody, and God is there to help the Israelites. That's why His other name is Yahweh Sabaoth, or Yahweh Nisi. There's a banner. That's why when the Israelites, when they go to war, they carry what? The Ark of the Covenant. That they believe that this is God with them. Okay? And also, when you are hungry, okay, when you don't have anything to eat, or when you have sickness, God in the Old Testament is called Yahweh Rohi, or God who provides, Yahweh Jireh, or healer, Yahweh Rapha, and the Lord is here, Yahweh Shama. So, God is called according to His function. He provides. Okay? So, when the Jews were in the Promised Land, we look up to God to provide them food. When they were in the wilderness, God provided them the manna and the quail. And also when they are in war, they provide them with the banner. So, what's the name of God? Actually, the name of God, or cannot be pronounced. It's called the tetragrammaton or YHWH. The vowels is so holy that this is not pronounced because the name of God. But people put vowels there, so that's why you can call God the Father, what, Jehovah or Yahweh. So in the Chinese Bible, it's translated Yehovah. But the actual words is YHWH. So you can add Yahweh, okay? And also, he's called the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, and the one who inhabits eternity. If you read in Revelation, you will notice that Jesus Christ said, I am the beginning and the end. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. So you will know that Jesus is talking that he is God also. That's why you have to know that what we believe in is this. And not only that, he is our creator and our potter, that God creates. That's why our attitude in church is important. Do you tell your manager that I'm here to be your boss? You get employed. What will happen till you get fired the first day? Okay, the same way we approach God on Sunday, if we call him our creator, we will shudder. Like, let's say President Bush come here this morning. What would you do? What will be your first reaction? Let's say he walks through here. You're going to ask him what's wrong with you, but what would your first reaction? It's the president. What would you do? You sit down. What would you do? You look at him, and what would you do? You would stand up. And if this is full, what would you do? You offer him a seat. Okay, or can you sit here beside me or what? The same way, because our reverence to God is this also. We are here on Sunday in front of Almighty God. We are gathered together. That's why when we sing our worship and praise, it's important that we are singing to God, our Creator Almighty. Because we are praising God. Why are we praising God? Because of our provider. If somebody like your friend give you a dinner or treat you for a lunch or a birthday party, are you very happy? Yeah, of course. You want to thank him and you want to praise him. That's why. This is the same way. On Sunday, God is a time for us to thank God who gives us a big dinner or a big bonus from your work, and you're so grateful. This is the same time. Or somebody gave you a five, your teacher. Oh, you said, oh, I want to thank you giving me a five. That's the attitude we are on Sunday, because God is so important. Or God gave you a baby that's healthy. Or God gave you a son. Then you're so happy. You're thankful. And the healer is important also. That we talk about the healer. Have you been sick here? Yeah, everyone has been sick. What did you tell God when you get sick? I will love you more 10 times, 20 times, if you make me well. Yeah. Or you make my children well, I'm going to thank God. The same time when we look to God, our healer, or what, we want to thank God. That's why every time we mention God, this means here, not only is he our provider, he is holy and righteous also. He is what? Holy, jealous. Have you been jealous? No? Not been jealous? Yeah, the important thing is, if you love somebody, you naturally get jealous. Excuse me. Yeah, it's natural because of our finite self. I get jealous. Let's say Marlene, I get jealous. You get jealous also. God is a jealous God. So what does God is jealous about? When we love Satan. Do you get jealous if somebody is your sibling, your brother or sister, try to get the love of your parents more? And you're saying there's a favorite at home? Okay, who is a favorite? The same time, God is jealous also when we try to love Satan and all his works. Satan has a lot of works, a lot of toys for us to play. Yeah, Satan's toys are very tempting. It tells you there is joy. That's why we should realize that God is a jealous God and that He's going to judge all of us. That's why last night we were having a devotion. The important thing is God is going to judge all of us, because if we do not witness, if we believe that God is going to judge the world, we are responsible for the deaths of our friends and also our loved ones. Spurgeon's devotion last night was saying that there's a lot of crimson or blood in the skirt of our clothes. All this blood is going to splatter on us. Why? Because their death is related to our inability to witness. So I want to praise God also that this July we went to Manila, and for the first time my mother prayed to accept the Lord. This has been our prayer, because every time we asked her, "Do you want to accept Jesus?" they said, "No, not yet." So this time we asked her and said, "Pray." And so Jilin, Isaac, Justin, Marlene, we all lay hands on her, and she for the first time accepted the Lord at the age of 95. So we have our responsibility. And I prayed with my father also, the last moment of his life. I said, "Would you like to accept Christ?" He said, but I prayed with him. I said, "Please receive him." So he said, "Oh." I tried my best. At 2 p.m., I remember that April. By 6 p.m., he's not doing good already. So I said, "Go home. All of you go. I'll take care of it." By 7 p.m., I have to put a breathing tube into him. By 8 o'clock, I have to pronounce him dead. So we are dealing with life and death here. It's no joke. If you have parents, you have brothers and sisters, you have relatives, the blood is in our hands. So God is a judge of the earth. He's going to judge. So it's important that we remember, if you have the magic or the potion for life, would you not like to share it with your parents, with your brother and sister? So I think we have discussed up to this part today. I think it's time's up. But you see, when we talk about I believe, it's important for us to put our faith in God. It's a contract. It's we put our life there. When we talk about God, God is almighty, powerful, healer, and there is a judgment. And when we come to church on Sunday, do we acknowledge Him as a great God? That we want to thank Him. We're all excited. Oh, I want to thank God. That's why we're having this worship and praise. We want to thank God because we're praising Him, because He has answered our prayer. He has solved my problem. He has cured me. He has touched my heart. He has forgiven me because I'm a worse sinner also. So let's bow our head in prayer today. And Father, we thank you that we praise you because you have created the Apostles' Creed through the centuries. We thank you that we believe in you, and we believe in you, God, Father, Jehovah, and through Christ, that you have saved us through the Holy Spirit. You're going to energize us. May you make us serious and know what we believe in, and that we can really praise you each Sunday as we come before you and meditate on your greatness, how you've healed us, how you're going to be a judge, how you're going to bring us to your kingdom. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I think one important announcement is I think we want to announce Ellen pass her boards. how the Lord has blessed her? Would you like to say a few words how the Lord bless you in the boards? Yeah, so that's an example of how God deserves our praise. Okay? So, Fred, want to.
Let's pray for the offering. Dear God, we thank you to give us so much for our life. We're willing to give a little bit of it, a little bit of what you have given us back to you, so that more people will know you, to come to you, to have eternal life. Please use this for all your missions, all time, all money, even all body, to your missions. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Is there anybody coming to this worship for the first time? Are you the first time? Well, let's welcome. Please stand up. Well, can you introduce? Rimi has been here serving that for a long time. Now you are here. That's good. Anybody else? Okay, one announcement. There will be a baptism during the Thanksgiving weekend. If anybody would like to be baptized, please let your leader or a co-worker or pastor know. You have a feeling, if God is calling you, if you would like to be baptized, there will be a baptism during the Thanksgiving weekend. Do we have any other announcement?
We just have people want to get baptized by Easter.
Easter. Okay, now let's stand up to sing the doxology. Seated and have a silent prayer and then dismiss.